Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's 909 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin, and I've got a couple of friends with me hanging out today, a new friend and an old friend. And by old, I do mean old. Sean Christensen is here from the Chamber of Commerce. How old are you, Sean?
I am great. How old am I?
How old are you? Yeah.
I am 51 years old.
51. Okay, well, you're younger than me.
I'm at that point where you have to get up multiple times a night for various reasons. So,
I wonder what those reasons might be. The previous show, Richard and Kaylee were in here talking about music and how music can, even with dementia patients, it can bring them back into kind of sanity for a little while and stuff. And he mentioned a group called the Screaming Blue Messiahs.
Oh, I've never heard of this group.
This is a band from the 80s, so maybe slightly before your time. But, I looked them up because I had heard the name, but I'd never heard any of their songs. I had no idea what they were. And apparently their music is a combination of rockabilly and hell. That's the combination of how they sound, apparently. And their big hit, their number, I don't think it ever went to number one, but their top 20 hit was a song called I Want to Be a Flintstone.
A Flintstone?
A Flintstone, yeah. Did you look it up?
Did you listen to it?
No, I haven't heard it yet. I haven't had time, but
now
I'm going to listen to it and see how it sounds. And I have a feeling, but Rockabilly in Hell, it's probably not that good a song, but we'll see.
Well, it hit top 20, so, you know, who knows?
Sean is here, and Sean brought with him Dalton Klinger. Dalton is very young, 22 years old, Dalton?
Yep, 22 years old.
Wow, holy cow.
He's an old soul, Andy.
How old are your kids, Sean? Do you have a kid?
So I have 25.
25, so he's older.
Yeah. BYU graduate. Nice. And that's Sydney. And then I have Maya. She's 21.
Okay.
And she works over at Plum Dental here in town. She's a dental assistant. And then I have Presley. She's 19. We dropped her off at the MTC last week.
Oh, so. Congratulations on that. Where's she going?
Tallahassee, Florida.
Tallahassee, nice.
And then we have Tice. He's 16 years old, plays soccer over at Crimson. They just
back to Tallahassee though. So
yes,
there a university? Is that Florida or Florida State? I can't remember.
Florida State. So that's capital.
She may come home a Seminole fan.
I mean, she might. Yeah. I told her that she needs to get used to some swamps and
gators.
Gators, backwoods stuff. And, you know. Maybe not everybody will have all their teeth. Who knows?
There is some of that going on in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Every morning when I do, like, the morning roundup of news stories, there's always some weird story out of Florida. In fact, the joke is, a Florida man, and then you just make up pretty much anything you could think of, and it starts with a Florida man.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Well, she's used to that area. We lived on the East Coast for a while, and we lived in Texas, and so when we lived in New York, we would vacation on the east side of Florida, and when we lived in Texas, we vacationed on the west side of Florida, so where her mission covers is some of our old stomping grounds for vacation.
I wonder if she remembers the humidity, though. It is so... Everybody's like, is it hot? I'm like, it's actually not... It's hotter here, temperature-wise, but the humidity down there...
It's oppressive.
Holy cow. You have no idea.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to know Dalton a little bit. Dalton, where are you from? How long you been... how long you been here in Southern Utah? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Dalton. I've been here for 4 years now, down here in St. George. But I'm originally from... I was born here in Utah as well, but then we moved a little bit, and I've come down to Lehigh. That's where my family's right now, Lehigh area.
Okay.
And so, I went to Westlake. I graduated from there. That's Saratoga Springs.
Westlake High School. Are they the Mustangs?
Thor Lightning.
Oh, the Thunder?
Yeah, the Thunder.
Okay. Oh, all right. Westlake Thunder. I should have known that.
No, you're all good.
I do sports on the radio. Back in the day, before all the new schools up north, I knew every mascot in the state, even Tintic and Altamont, some of those little teeny ones. But now they got all these new schools up north, and I'm like, I can't remember them all.
Yes. The only one I know is East because I just watch High School Musical all the time and just watch that. So.
Nice. So Westlake, and then you came down here to go to school. Utah Tech now, which I wasn't Utah Tech when you got here, but it is now. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Dixie when we came down, and I'm pretty sure my associates is Dixie still. I don't know if it's Utah Tech.
No,
I think
they
I got
it,
on that,
it.
On that switch.
But. So, and you are about to graduate, is that right?
Yep, I graduate in 1 month.
Nice, wow.
We identified a great talent. We wanted to keep him here in southern Utah, so we brought him on at the chamber.
You got recruited over here by Sean. Yeah. Huh?
He totally did. He actually was referred to us by three different individuals when we opened up. Nate Martinez left and went to work up north for Comcast. He's government affairs, I think is the official title for lobbyist for Comcast. And so he's up there.
That means he's making real money now.
Right? I mean, I guess, right. But no, we were excited for him. He was a great fit for that position. And so we started the process of trying to find a backfill for him, and three different people recommended Dalton. So
nice. That's pretty cool, man. Yeah. You must have a good rep.
Yeah, I'm glad my reputation is, hopefully it's serving me with Sean, but that's, hopefully I can continue on that reputation on.
Sean knows just, we've had several different younger people working here at the radio station. And honestly, I feel like there's not as strong a work ethic among your generation right now, Dalton. And maybe you've seen that with some of your friends or people that you know, but it's good to hear there are people like you who say, yeah, let's get the job done. That's nice.
Yeah. I am at Utah Tech. I'm a financial coach. So I'll like help students figure out their finances and such. And when you're mentioning like the work ethic, I definitely see it in meeting a lot of students my age or individuals my age. It's a lot harder to see, and the people that you do see, it's the extremes. And I really, I'm trying to be one of those extremes of I'm going to work better and harder than anyone else. That's kind of the goal.
That's the way to get ahead, right, Sean?
Yeah. It totally is. Yeah. Dalton and I actually had this conversation at lunch earlier this week. He asked me, what did I think was the biggest challenge for his generation? I feel like a lot of people do point at work ethic, but I told Dalton, I don't know that that's a problem. I think there's lazy people in every generation, right? I mean, we've all definitely worked with some people that we were like, well, you could put in some more effort. But my feeling was is that their generation struggles with it's not fair. Yeah. And I hear that a lot of it's not fair, even for my own kids, right? It's not fair. And the thing we try to drive home at our house is to say, yeah, I mean, welcome to life.
Life isn't fair sometimes. It's true.
Right. So learn how to take a not fair situation and control your own destiny. I mean, that's the philosophy we teach. And I feel like, you know, this sounds like, I sound like such an old guy saying this, but I feel like it starts with the participation trophies and goes from there, right? Yeah, like, hey, everybody's a winner, everybody's special, and you know what? You're special to the people who love you, but once you get into the workforce, you're not special until you prove you're special,
exactly.
Right? Exactly. And I think that's a struggle for a lot of people as they transition into the workforce is they're like, oh, they really... They don't love me like my mom did, or maybe the college, you know, the professors in the university really want to create a nurturing environment. But once you get in the workforce, man, you got to produce.
It's true.
It's a slap in the face for a lot of people.
Well my daughter worked, she's going to BYU. She worked at a cookie store. I'm not going to say the name of it, but it's a famous cookie store. But she used to be able to pick up shifts all week. Like she was only scheduled for like 12 hours a week, but she could pick up 2, 3, 4 shifts every week. And I said, why? And she said, well, people just, they call me and they say, hey, will you take my shift? And I said, oh, so like a lot of people are getting sick or whatever. She goes, no, sometimes they just don't feel like working. And they call me. And I'm like, wait, since when is I don't feel like working an excuse to not go? To me, that was the weirdest thing. I had never in my life had the idea, I just don't feel like working. You work because that's what you committed to do. And my daughter says, it's okay, Dad. I don't mind because I get the extra hours. And I understand that they feel that life's not fair. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, life's not fair for all of us, you know?
Yeah, it's not fair for anybody, right?
You just work. And I mean, you know, I told my wife, I'd love to, you know, I have this little sepsis problem with cellulitis in my leg that leads to sepsis. It's not fair that I get that. There was nothing I did to cause that. Right. It just happened to me.
Genetics.
Life's not fair. Just get over it. So, anyway, we got off on a tangent. Dalton, thanks for coming here. Westlake High School, you said, and then your family's down in Lehigh, or is Westlake in Lehigh?
Lehigh, Saratoga Springs.
Oh, okay,
just on the verge.
Nice. Man, Lehigh is, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, I think Lehigh is the, St. George used to be the fastest growing city in the state, but I think Lehigh passed it. I think Lehigh has just exploded. You look at Lehigh High School and now Westlake, they're both big old, I think, 6A schools now, aren't they?
Yeah, so I think I graduated with a little over 2,000 students when I, in 2021. So, like, we held our graduation at Rio Tinto Stadium because that was the only place that could hold all of us.
That is crazy.
And this was, like, during COVID as well, so we were restricted people as well.
Yeah. But, let's stay 6 feet away from each other. That magic distance.
Yeah.
My political guy always gets on. He says, hey, I figured out where they got the 6 feet from because in the Bible times, you had to stay 6 feet away from a leper. And so Fauci was like, leper, COVID, same thing, stay away. I don't know if that's true or not.
That's
anyway,
great.
Well, tell us about your new job, Dalton, what you'll be doing for the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, so I'm the new operations manager. So right now I'm coming into this role. This is my second week on the job. So
you're learning, right?
Yeah,
now.
So I'm in the phase of learning and new growth. And I love it. I absolutely adore learning new things and taking new things and figuring out ways I can solve it and make it a little bit more efficient, make it faster, or even just, okay, how can this work? So right now it's like figuring out, the ARs and APs of figuring out, okay, when is financials, where the ins and flows. And so we're trying to figure that out and trying to optimize that, as well as trying to make Sean's job as easy as possible. I want him to forget about working. I want him to focus on his own things and focus on the chamber itself and helping individuals. I'll work on the back end and pretty much make his job seamless.
And on Mondays, he's going to be worthless anyway because he'll be getting that FaceTime call from his daughter every week.
That's right. It's actually her P-Day's Tuesday in
the
MTC. Oh, it's
Tuesday. Well, yeah.
But, yeah, just talked to her yesterday.
Now, Dalton, are you married yet?
No, I'm not married. No date. And I'm trying to prioritize on myself right now.
All right.
But maybe down the road. We'll see.
He is available, though. I mean, for all
I know. I was just thinking, well, my daughter is getting married next month, and my other daughter's already married, so they're out. But we'll see if we can work.
He is an eligible bachelor.
Yeah, he's got a daughter on a mission if you're willing to wait a year.
That's right.
So, all right. Well, tell us about, you mentioned people referred Dalton to you. Mm-hmm. People, high praises, I'm guessing. How did that come about?
Yeah, so we opened up the position, and I actually reached out. You know, of course, referrals are awesome. You never know what you're going to get from Indeed. And so I reached out to our board members. I reached out to influencers in the community and just asked them, you know, if there's somebody you know that's looking for full-time work and is an operations fit. I said, but I'm seeking a unicorn, right? A lot of operations people, they don't love being in front of the public. You know, they're not business development minded. They're very process minded. And I needed somebody very process minded, but I also needed somebody who could sit down with the members of the chamber and have a great conversation with them and make them feel welcome and be a people person. So that's a unique find for an operations job. And I had, one of our board members, Elizabeth Wilson with Zeke, had referred Dalton. I had Brad Buchanan from Tech Ridge had referred Dalton.
Nice.
And then also Wendy Elkington Stabler, who runs the Elkington Speaker Series down here, had Dalton working for her and also talked about her. And then Cheryl Kaplinger, who's with the university, once she heard I was interviewing Dalton, sent me a text and was like, I want to throw my vote in for Dalton. Anyway,
nice.
I will say this. It wasn't, as much as I love Dalton, it wasn't an easy choice. We actually got some really good candidates from Indeed, found that right now, if you are first level management experience, so like a middle level management, it's really hard to find a job right now. And so we found some really, really good candidates, and it came down between Dalton and two others, and we interviewed him, chamber staff interviewed him, and then it was so close that we brought in our board, our executive committee from the board, and they interviewed them as well, and we landed on Dalton, made a choice.
Must have interviewed well, though.
Oh, I hope I did. I'm pretty sure I did, but.
Yeah, he did a great job.
My wife jokes about, she mentioned some old boyfriend, you know, years ago, and I was like trying to get a little jealous, and she's like, honey, you won. it's okay. That's kind of, we can talk about the other candidates for Dalton, that Dalton's job, but because he won.
That's
okay.
Right. That's right.
You're the winner.
Yeah, so it was really close, and there's some awesome candidates for operations management out there. If people are hiring for that, you know, get your stuff on Indeed, and if you're curious about who we passed on, give me a call at the chamber. I'd be happy to share their names with you. I don't know if they're still looking for work or if they got snacked up, but I'd be happy to pass their resumes along.
I did. Before I forget, one of I don't know if she is still a member of the Washington. St. George. What do they call them? Your group, your service group,
Sunshiners.
Yeah,
the ambassadors. Yes,
Suzanne Leonelli is getting married this Saturday.
That's right.
Suzanne and John Wilhelm.
Yeah, so she was formerly CEO of Root for Kids.
Right, she just retired just a couple months ago.
Yeah, back in February, yeah.
And, Suzanne and John are getting married, so.
I saw that they were in town. Cool. We're out at the Washington County Fair.
We saw them at Lone Star the other night. Yeah. And I was all bragging because I had really good seats, and then I found out they had bought VIP. They got to go back and meet the band. And stuff. And
one-uppers.
She did have some nice cowboy boots on.
Suzanne's fantastic. That's great. Well, good for them. Yeah, that's nice. I didn't know that was coming up that soon. So Saturday.
They had put the other day 8 days or something. So when I saw them at the concert, I said, "So how many days now?" And they said, "Well, it's Saturday." I was like, "Oh." Like you, I was like, that soon? Okay, yeah. We got this. But that's pretty cool. All right, what's happening in Chamber? What's coming up? You got any events coming up or things we need to know about?
Yeah, so we made a slight change to one of our lunches this year. It's our power lunch, our third Wednesday of each month. Mm-hmm. We do a power lunch. And this year, we planned it out at the end of last year and put together a training series. And so today, it is all about digital marketing. And Jacob Amundsen, formerly used to own Venture Creative and had sold that company a few years back. He is coming in as our expert and all of our...
And that's today, right?
Yeah. So it's 11:30 to 1 today. He'll train from essentially noon to 1 o'clock. 11:30 is when lunch will be brought in from DP Cheesesteaks.
Ooh, good stuff.
It is really good stuff. So he'll train on that, and then everybody leaves with a book. If it shows up in time, we'll see.
Fingers crossed.
But everybody will get delivered a book if it doesn't show up on time.
If it's on time, you did it right. If it's late, it's Dalton's fault.
Yeah, that's exactly right. 100%. Yeah, it's an operations issue for sure. But we want them to continue their education after the education. We train so much in 45 minutes, right?
For sure.
So each of our experts that we're bringing in each month, they choose a book that we then purchase and give to all the attendees. So it's a little bit more expensive lunch, but we feel like the content and the value far exceeds that, right?
Okay.
So,
and that is where today?
At the chamber. At the chamber. You got to register for that. And I think we've exceeded the number of books we purchased. So today we'll purchase the rest of the books. And like I say, get them delivered out. And then we've got our golf classic, our what we call the Chamber Classic. And this year it's called the Curt McConkie Chamber Classic because Curt McConkie is our title sponsor. Right. And so that happens on May 9th, and we still have about 10 teams left out of 50. So
where's the tournament going to be?
Sunbrook Golf Course. Sunbrook. Same place every year. Only golf course in town that can fit 200 players. So
I've golfed Sunbrook. That is not an easy course.
No.
So you got to work it out. Dalton, do you golf?
I'm trying to learn how to golf.
Yeah,
so
one of those
if you count big shots as golf, then that's my level of expertise there.
I'm kind of the same way right now. So,
Andy, we did something a little different for the golf tournament this year.
Okay.
We usually give to the team that wins, everybody gets a dozen Pro V1 golf balls, right? It's a nice gift.
Yeah.
But this year, I went on Trophy Smack. Have you heard of Trophy Smack?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so this is a company that Mark Cuban invested in on Shark Tank.
Okay.
And they just make championship belts, championship rings, necklaces with the big, and so we bought these huge championship rings that just came in that have our title sponsor on them, and then
so a ring you probably wouldn't ever wear, but you could put it in a case.
And
somewhere.
We bought display cases for all of them for our winners, and so they look pretty great. You can see those on our social media.
Big honking rings.
That's cool. And then one last thing. Speaking of Shark Tank, so a local grown company, it's called Essence Ring, and the gentleman who owns that company is Mike DeLu and his wife Tammy DeLu, and they just live over in Washington, and they had their manufacturing facility in St. George. They just barely moved it over to Washington, but it doesn't matter. It's all southern Utah, right?
Right.
They're going to be on Shark Tank this Friday night.
Really?
Yeah.
That is so cool.
And Mike's a close friend. He's a chamber member. And I have no idea what the outcome is. They can't share.
They're not allowed to say anything, even though it's already been taped, right?
But this Friday at 6 o'clock, ABC, Shark Tank.
Now, what do they make?
So Essence Ring is a scent ring that's made of medical-grade silicone that you put in your nose. Almost looks like a nose ring, except it's silicone, so it's clear. You really can't see it. They're not super noticeable, but they're soaked in essential oils or whatever flavor or scent that you prefer. And the reason he came up with it, he was stuck on a flight down to Dallas, and he said the person sitting next to him smelled so bad, got him thinking about it.
I've been there.
The flight back, he said the person sitting next to him smelled even worse. and he's like, man, a person shouldn't have to sit for 2, 3, 4 hours and have to suffer through this. So he came up with this. It took him quite a while to get it all figured out, because the plastic would break down in essential oils, and so that's why it's medical grade silicone. Anyway, long story short, he's been up and running for a little bit. They've been very successful, and now they're just looking to take it next level.
Shark Tank Friday night.
Yeah.
That is really cool. I went on a flight once, and it was during the COVID, you know, and the masks and everything. I left my mask on the whole trip, not because I was afraid of germs, but because the person next to me didn't smell very good. Like, I got to have a little filter here.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, I called Mike. He always puts those Essence rings in our swag bag at our golf tournament. And I called him and said, hey, you going to do it this year? And he's like, well, you know, we're going on Shark Tank. And I'm like, yeah, he's all, if I have any left after Friday, then yes, we will put him in this year. But
I imagine it's quite a boost on Friday being on a show like that. That is really cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're out of time for the segment. Dalton, it was great to meet you. Good luck in your new job. Ops manager? Is that what the name
Operations
was?
Manager.
Operations manager.
Very cool. Ops manager. Yeah. It all works.
In radio, they call it the same thing. It's the ops manager. Basically, the guy that has to do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Make everybody look good.
Yeah. And I'm totally fine making everyone else look good, because that means I will look good based on them doing their...
Exactly. Exactly. That's why you hired him, huh?
He's the new P-Star puzzle. He completed it for us.
Nice. Sean, thanks again for coming. It's always a pleasure to talk to you every third Wednesday. Work day, too, right?
Yeah. I appreciate it, Andy. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Guys, thanks for coming on. We're going to take a break. Dave Romer will be joining us shortly after we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. It's 9:35 on KDXU. David Romer from Modern Warriors is on the air with me now. Hi, Dave. What's going on, man?
Oh, not too much. Thanks for having me again.
Your beard is looking full and thick and beautiful. I love it.
Out of control, yeah.
No. It looks great, man. It looks fantastic. So, of course, Dave here is a firearms expert, former trainer, and a guy that, of course, is out there explaining things to a lot of people. They come in and go, I'm not sure about, can you explain? So you probably, big part of your job, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, obviously there's the sales side, but honestly, I'd say the biggest aspect of everything in there is just education on various fronts, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily just shooting either,
Well, that's one of the reasons you're here. I wanted to get some education from you. A couple of things came up, and I was curious about them. So recently, one of the schools shooters, I can't remember which one it was, but was a kid, and I say a kid like 16 or 17,
right?
And he acquired the gun through his parents. I don't know if they bought it for him or if they bought it for themselves, and he took it off of one of their shelves or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious what the liability is, because in this particular case, the parents actually got charged with a crime for supplying the weapon to the kid who did the shooting. What is the liability there?
Well, it's going to be a little bit tricky, because typical ATF fashion, there's a lot of gray area, right? So, at being under 18, he's not going to be able to legally go out and buy a gun themselves.
Right. So he could not get, if he wanted one legally, he couldn't do it.
No. Now, a lot of what will happen is parents will buy guns for their kids, which is really common, like in the South where I grew up, in the sense that legally it's still their gun, right? And the intent is that their kid can then use it to go hunt or whatever, target practice, and kind of use it at parents' discretion. And then once they're of age, they gift it to them, and they give it to them. There's no exchange of funds. There's no exchange of services. None of that kind of stuff. It's just a gift that, as the ATF would call it, that's a bona fide gift when that happens. Okay. And so that is a legal thing you can do. You can give a gun to somebody, and buy it for that purpose, as long as it's considered a bona fide gift, and typically it's going to need to be a direct relative, like your parent to a kid, right? Not like some third cousin twice removed or some weird stuff, but so something pretty close, bona fide gift. You do need to be of age. Now, at 18, you can own a gun, right? And so you could actually, and this does happen, right? You could buy a handgun. They can't go buy one. Bona fide gift. Technically, they could gift that to their child. Again, okay. It has to be bona fide, which is no exchange of services, no exchange of funds, right? It's not going out of the way to try to work the system a little bit.
But. And in this case, bona fide is a legal term.
It is.
I'm a bona fide Southerner. Right. This is actually a real legal term.
Right. So yeah, you do have to. There are stipulations there. Like they can't go work it off doing yard work later. Like that would no longer be a bona fide gift.
Okay.
That is then what you would call a straw purchase. A straw purchase is a felony. That is a huge deal.
Really?
You can't buy a gun for someone else. The only stipulation for that is bona fide gift. And you can pull up the 4473s online, which is the form you fill out when you buy a gun. And then the first few pages is where you answer everything. But after that, there's multiple pages explaining every single section and what those terms mean. So if you have any questions, that's a good way to do that. It's form 4473. And you can look that up. And so you can get them that way. Being underage, right? I can see where potentially they would do that. You could have it, as far as them being liable. It just depends how you're looking at that as far as whether they gave it to him, right? They can't just give it to him legally because he's not of age.
Right.
Or you could make the claim while they didn't store it properly and they gave him access. I definitely can see where a court got there with that, considering he did something nefarious. The idea of buying a gun for your child when they're not of age, I understand. I get it. You want them to be proficient and respect it and know how to use it. And sure, I had friends that had a bunch of property growing up where they could go and you'd get on the riding lawnmower and drive around the property and look for snakes with a shotgun and blow their heads off, right? Water moccasins are pretty gnarly, so you don't want to mess with those. Yeah. And that was a fairly normal thing, right? And that's not nefarious at all. And so you get that. But the flip side is none of those guys had access to it whenever they wanted, right? It was, hey, we're at the farm today. What are y'all doing? You're just going to cruise around and kill some snakes? Here, let me go unlock the safe and here, take the shotgun and be safe. Dinner's at 5.
don't get bit.
Right. Please don't get bit. Even if you're giving them that to go out and have and use and have access, that still should not be a free rein. And if it is, then there's definitely that argument that you've actually given it to them, in which case you've now got a problem if they're not of age. So.
I don't know the details, and maybe I need to learn more about this case. But in the case of the school shooter, where he was able to get a fairly high-powered rifle, and he got it, I don't know if there was tacit permission or if it was he just took it. Mm. But he took the gun from his parents' house and shot up a school. Do you feel, as a gun advocate, do you feel like the parents are kind of getting a raw deal and getting charged with this, or do you think they were irresponsible and they deserve it? Tough question.
Yeah, it is a very tough question, actually. I don't know all the specifics. I feel pretty confident they weren't trying to let him do nefarious things with it, right? So I don't see it as like an intentional aid and abet of a crime, right? The flip side of that, though, is if you're going to own guns, there is a responsibility to keep them safe.
Agreed.
Yeah. Right? I've heard people mention, "Wow, this is my gun. I just throw in my glove box, and if it gets stolen, it's not a big deal." Well, That is a big deal, actually. Yeah. That's not good at all. I don't care how cheap it is. That's not the point. It's, you've now given access to that to someone who, if they stole it from you, probably are up to nefarious things. That's not a good thing. And so the onus is on you for every gun you own to protect it. Now, there is a limit to what you can do. I mean, your child has full access to your house, right? So they have time. Right. If I have some random person break into my house, their security systems, their safes, there's all that stuff. They have a very limited amount of time before cops show up to try to break in. That's going to limit access. And I'm not saying this is what happened in this case. This is just speculation. But if he was to go in and, say, break into a safe or break into a locked room or something, if parents aren't home, he's got all the time in the world to do that, right? And if that's the avenue he took, then that's a raw deal for them.
Yeah.
Right? They were locking it up. They were trying to keep it safe. The only reason he had as much time to get in there as he did is because he has access to the house because he lives there. Now, again, I don't know specifically what happened. I'm not saying that is what happened in this case. But if that's kind of generally the scenario, I'd say that's a pretty raw deal. If it's like some people do, and man, we threw this in the closet up on top, and somebody breaks in and grab it, yeah, that's not cutting it.
Yeah.
There should be some level of liability for that, at least.
As you mentioned, you know, your parents go out, maybe they go to work all day every day. The kid comes home, he's got 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, maybe 8 hours to, you know, go in the closet, and if it's not locked up, or even if it's locked up and he knows the combination, he can go in there and get it any time he wants. And that definitely changes things quite a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, and like the nice safes, I mean, even if he has hours, unless he just happens to be good at breaking into safes and stuff, which is unlikely, probably not getting into it. Now, the flip side is those are really expensive. And a lot of people have like one or two guns or something like that. They don't need something that big anyway. But if you get some of the less expensive, I like to call them security cabinets, but they're like the stack-on safes is kind of one of the big brands for them. They're a lot more affordable. You can keep them locked up, keep prying eyes and arms away. The flip side of that, though, is, I mean, I can get a hammer and a screwdriver, and I can break into that in about 30 minutes without trying very hard. Because it's thin-gauge steel. You don't have to defeat the lock at all. You know, you can literally use that screwdriver as a chisel, and you can get through that. I've actually had to do that on the old ones years ago because I lost the keys and had to get into it. I know for a fact that works. But if you have time and you're not worried about making a bunch of noise, that's pretty easy to do. Should they have had a better one? Yes. I don't know their financial situation. Some people can't afford that. That gets more complicated, right?
The other factor that complicates things a lot, I think, in a case like this where the parents got charged with supplying the gun is, did they know their child was a threat? I mean, I hate to say it, but I knew a guy in school when I was in middle school. He was drawing pictures of guns and dead people and all kinds of stuff back then. And I'm like, this guy, one of these days, he's going to do something. Now, that was back before we had school shootings. There was no such thing back then, or at least it wasn't publicized at all. So then you got the knowledge, was your kid a threat? And then something we're going to get into after the break as well is, how about mentally unstable people? What disqualifies them from being able to buy a gun? And we'll talk about that, Dave, in a second. Sure. Let's get a break in first. I'm going to turn your mic down and talk a little bit about Angelica's Mexican Grill for just a second. Angelica's is one of my AG-approved clients. Now, normally I talk about their great food, and it is fantastic, but I thought what I'd do is maybe let the reviews do it, the talking. 2,680 Google reviews right now on Angelica's, and they have 4.5 out of 5 stars. I'm going to read you a couple of the 5-star reviews. They're amazing. This is Charlie. He said, this is a place you need to stop and go to. The food is amazing and the salsa bar is superior. I always make it a point to stop here for the past 5 years, ever since my son was playing club ball games in St. George. 5 stars. Let's just scroll down and get another. I mean, I'm passing by all these 5-star reviews. All right, here's one. Pictures. Great food, amazing hot sauce. Angelica's special had soft tortillas. And then he talked about the tortillas, the bottom one being a little more crispy on the street tacos. And just 5 stars. Again, here's another one. This is Stacy. Went around 4 p.m., ordered and was served in 10 minutes. Within an hour, this place was packed, and there's a reason. The pork quesadilla was delicious. 10 out of 10. Not 5 out of 5, but 10 out of 10. There was a self-serve salsa bar, including options from mild green sauce to spicy. Staff is friendly, and the place was clean. 5 stars. Angelica's Mexican Grill. Again, they're located at 101 East St. George Boulevard. Authentic, real, authentic, fresh food from Angelica's. Angelica's is AG approved.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. 951 on KDXU, talking with David Romer from Modern Warriors. David, you were reading through some of the questions that you have to fill out when you apply for a gun, to buy a gun. Tell us what you learned.
Well, so yeah, kind of reading through, like I said, in the back part of that form, there's all these definitions for every question, what they're actually talking about, what they mean, in case it's not clear from the wording, which, let's be honest, most of them written somewhat of legalese, so that's not abnormal for it to not be overly clear. But we were kind of laughing in the sense that there's a, the questions in general seem to be kind of soft and beaten around the bush.
Right. Until.
For various considerations. Maybe it's just to not offend somebody. Maybe it's to entice you into an incorrect answer. I don't know. But the one about mental illness is, I've always laughed, seems weirdly aggressive compared to everything else in terms of language. That they are actually, the wording on it is, have you ever been adjudicated as a mental defective?
Ouch.
Or have you ever been committed to a mental institution? Seems weirdly aggressive.
It does.
I feel like
it
there's
does.
Better terms probably for that. But yeah, that is their wording. That would mark you a prohibitive person if you were answered a yes to that. And then later it does kind of get into specifically what that means if you go and look at the definitions. So, To explain that one, it's a determination by court, board, commission, or other lawful authority that a person, as a result of marked subnormal intelligence or mental illness, incompetency, condition, or disease, is a danger to himself or to others, lacks mental capacity, contract, or manages his own affairs, and the term shall include a finding of insanity by a court in a criminal case, and those persons found competent to stand trial or found not guilty by reason of lack of mental responsibility.
So they can't, if they answer yes, they cannot get a gun.
Correct. Yes. Period. At that point, transaction's over.
Okay.
So if someone is, so you have to fill out all these questions. Yeah. The first part is all just your pertinent info about yourself. And then there's all these questions trying to see if you're a prohibitive person or not. And at the end, you have to sign it saying that everything's true to the best of your ability, and it's a felony for lying on a federal form if it's not, and all that. Once that gets submitted, we look it over, just see what your answers are, make sure everything looks good, and we can continue. As long as nothing on there says you're prohibited, we're allowed to then continue and run your background check. However, if there is something on there that is not going to allow us to continue, that transaction's over. And even if it's something like on here, it'll ask if you've ever been convicted in a court of a felony, right? If you didn't read the questions and you just kind of flip through and accidentally hit yes to it, that's all well and good that, yeah, you're not a felon. But the flip side is we now can't continue unless you can bring us your record to prove that you have not been convicted.
Oh,
of a felony.
Really?
So it is a very big deal even to just make the mistake. So yes, you would actually need to then prove that you made a mistake as opposed to you're trying to now change your answer to get a gun when you shouldn't have. So it is worth reading those.
It feels like to me, and I know these forms are very serious, and you mentioned, you know, lying on the form is a felony, but if I'm a guy who wants to do harm, it seems like it'd be kind of easy to lie.
Yeah, to me, it's the form itself is more of it's a transaction record is what we colloquially call it, because it has the serial numbers on there, what you're buying, your info, your address, that kind of stuff. To me, it's one of those classic like catch-alls. So, hey, you committed a crime. Here's something else we can slap on there to put you away longer or do more to you.
After the fact.
Because, you know, when it does ask if, let's see, there's all sorts of doozies on here, but typical, you know, government stuff where obviously no one would ever lie on anything. Yeah. But where the questions go?
The end user licensing agreement when you
That's
play
right.
a video game. Yeah, who read your EULA? That would be nobody.
For some reason, some of those questions aren't showing. But it does ask if, like, you're a fugitive from justice. If you're a fugitive from justice, obviously you would say yes to that, right?
Sure I am.
But it's something they can slap on you later. It's just something extra. However, this form, part of you signing that also gives us legal authority to run a background check on you, and then we run a background check. So even if you lied on the form, it should come up in your background check, right. Assuming the authorities did their part.
Everything was filed
putting
correctly.
Everything in there correctly, yeah. Which I know is a problem with one of the Texas shootings. I had a domestic abuse problem in the military, and then the military never reported it to the civilian courts or anybody, and so it wasn't in there, and then he went and legally bought a gun because he passed his background. But yeah, if the government doesn't do their part, then that can fall apart. But
the sad thing, and you know, Dave, and I know you are, we're both gun advocates. We feel like that, right. That guns in the hands of good person mm-hmm. are good things. It seems like there's sure a lot of little cracks for things to fall through, though, when it comes to guns. People lying, people maybe, right. Like you mentioned, the military not communicating with the civil, I mean, stuff like that.
I mean, he was in the brig in the military. It wasn't like a, oh, man, someone at the command just didn't mention anything. Like, it was a very big, very official ordeal.
Yeah.
And still didn't make it to the civilian side. Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
Is there... You know, I don't want more regulations as far as guns are concerned, but I sure don't want the wrong people getting a hold of guns. Is there any other fail?
Yeah, I don't know as far as sane people. I don't know anybody that wants criminals to have guns. Right. The disparity between and how we go about all this, I think, is more just on the kind of the belief in how systems work. I consider myself a little more of a realist, sort of as like just going through these questions, kind of joking that, yeah, if I was a fugitive from justice, I'd obviously say yes, obviously not. But that's a reality, right? I'm not saying that you should lie on the form. What I'm saying is somebody that's a fugitive or somebody that's committing these crimes, that's not a big deal to them to lie on that, right? That's just reality. And so you can ask all the questions you want, unless they're just mentally ill or just really, really stupid at committing crimes. That's not going to catch anything. Right. The background check, sure, it should. And 99.9% of the time, all that stuff gets reported and it's in there and it will stop it. But it only takes one time for the wrong person that it won't. What do you do? I mean, you have to put faith into the system in place to do it. But everyone in it's human. There's going to be errors.
Yeah.
There's no way to prevent it permanently. There's no way. And so it's taking that responsibility, and kind of the path that I think both of us have taken is not just responsibility of the stuff we have, but the responsibility of training and being proficient, being on the lookout, and knowing that even though we have these laws in place to stop it, evil can still happen. And you might be the first person there, you know, just is what it is.
Yeah. Evil can still happen, that's for sure. We just got a minute left, but I did want to mention this case in Georgia. They're actually charging the father of a kid who did a school shooting, killed two teachers and two students. He is being charged with 4 counts of second-degree murder.
Dang.
Because he, quote-unquote, bought the gun, the AR-style weapon, as a gift for his son.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he did make the statement the guns were secure. The kid did not have access to the guns without him being there to, I guess, unlock them or whatever. But, mm-hmm. man, that seems like awful harsh punishment.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Anyway, well, we are out of time. But, David, it's fascinating to learn and glean learn from you. Glean some of your knowledge.
That's always fun to go through them.
Yeah. It's coming up on 10 o'clock. Thanks, everybody, for listening today. Tomorrow is Thursday, right? So we got Mayor Billings on. We'll talk to you then. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.